No, Chiaki, I don't want to go. You can go first.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you, Kimiko.
I love you too, Chiaki.
Hi, my lesbian babies.
Okay.
Okay.
Yay!
描いた夢とここにある今二つの景色見比べても形を変えてここにあるのは確かな一つのもの過ぎゆく春を惜しみながらも僕ら
listen to the song Kokoro E from the anime Major by Triplane. With me today on this Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, session 35, where we make your addiction worse, is
Kimiko.
You're so excited.
I'm thrilled.
Well, I'm Mitsuki, and I'm here to make you guys incredibly entertained today.
Excuse me.
Sorry, we're all a bit under the weather.
I think, lately. I'm good.
I'm just swamped by finals.
Yeah,
lots of finals.
I'm done with grad school and now unemployed.
If things are a bit delayed as far as website updates, by the way, everyone, it's because Chiaki has finals.
Lots and lots of finals.
Sorry. Speaking of the website, you can find us at aaapodcast.com. That's three A's, podcast, spelled how it should be, .com. We're on iTunes, Facebook, MeVO.com, and the lovely ADDNetwork.net. If you search for AAA Podcasts on any of those, you should come up. Warning, side effects may include increased anime watching, red retinas, and loss of total life and friends. So, some announcements, because we always have 5 minutes of them. Welcome to the forum, Matthew Mora, Genviv, Chenon Ozakaki,
yay.
And, oh, that's it. There's only three.
Welcome to the forum.
Nice to meet you guys.
Hi, guys.
I know that Genviv answered the trivia question correctly, but fortunately you did not win this week.
No, the person who did win was Tetsuan Kex. So, congratulations, Tetsuan. You will be in the running to win the final overall awesome prize.
That has yet to be determined. Because Mikhail took the last DVD.
Yay,
yes.
You can blame him for that.
I'm thinking of maybe putting forward, I have some Japanese Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood manga that I think I might put forward to win.
The anime story on the street's also not gone yet.
Yeah, so there will be something cool, maybe a couple somethings that you can choose from, whoever does win. Character battle is still in full swing. We've been getting quite a few votes on some of those polls.
Yeah.
Kamina slaughtered handedly.
Spike slaughtered, I don't even know. I know Kamina was up against Harry McDougal, got massacred.
It was sad. Kamina just blinked at manliness.
I think the biggest upset so far was Nagisa losing.
I was surprised.
To who, Winry?
Yes, Winry.
Winry Rockbell.
We got a lot
Nagisa.
Of FMA fans out there, man.
If Winry was that strong, I'm excited to see how Ed does, because he's coming up. Maybe he'll even be gone and done with by the time... I can't talk tonight. By the time... this gets released. So anyways, full topic tonight. Our discussion topic is going to be Japanese fashion. It might have been requested by somebody on the forums, but we can't remember, so if it was, thank you for requesting it.
A topic that I know almost nothing about. Yay!
Yeah, it's probably going to be from a kind of girl perspective. Then we're going to have some impressions on the new anime season. followed by some reviews, and then whatever else and other fun stuff we throw in there.
Be prepared.
So you guys ready?
Very much so.
I am.
Awesome.
I'm ready to learn.
I really am excited to be here. I love you guys.
We
really
love you too.
I promise. I don't sound it, but I am.
So, today we're going to talk about Japanese fashion. And I mean, there are a number of things with Japanese fashion. We're going to take probably primarily a girl approach because I was a girl recently in Japan. So.
And you're a girl here.
I am.
Normally.
Generally speaking.
On most days.
You're not a man.
Yes, except for every fourth Tuesday. But,
That's a fun day.
It is. So.
It's awkward, though. It's awkward for me.
The first thing you gotta know is that there are some differences between Japanese fashion and Western fashion.
Yeah, there are.
One of the main ones that a lot of Westerners don't seem to realize is Japan is much more conservative than America is. I mean, sure, they do kind of have the short skirts, but that's about it when it comes to Japan's risque nature. And normally those are paired with very high stockings or something. Generally speaking, I never saw cleavage in Japan. I never saw cleavage in Japan. Like, I never saw spaghetti straps. Granted, I was there during the winter, but it's just not, it's not the style to wear, like, little strappy things and things that'll show off your boobs and really short, you know, shorts that, you know, hug you close. Like, most of the time, if the girls were wearing something short, they were wearing, like, tights or leggings or stockings or something underneath it to be more conservative. The other thing is the colors are also more demure. You have a lot of darker, rich colors, like dark burgundies.
See, that one's unexpected to me.
Really?
Yeah, like, I can understand the, I can understand the more conservative sense. I mean, we've got movies like the Tokyo Drift that totally contradicts that, but it just, it feels like in Japan it would be more conservative and stuff. It's,
I mean,
it's very
fake, though.
Obviously, but that's what Westerners see
of
the Japan style.
Yeah.
But the colors, I always thought the colors would be brighter.
No, I mean, they do have punches of color, let's say, but it's like if you're going to wear, for example, a bright orange sweater, as you're wearing right now.
I love my bright orange sweaters.
They are lovely. You'd pair them with dark stockings or something. Or it's like, if you're going to wear a bright orange shirt, you'd wear maybe a dark brown jacket over it with then, you know, jeans or something like that. Jeans actually really aren't that big in Japan. Like, they're big, but they're not big like they are here. I mean, we're all wearing...
Mine are almost jeans.
Okay. We're all wearing, as I like, rub your leg.
Well, that's because you got to have the zettai zone where this the skin between the knee-high stocking and the skirt. You can't have that with jeans.
Exactly.
Jean shorts.
Yes.
But that doesn't exist either, I don't think.
Yeah, they're not really common.
So denim's not really a big thing at all in Japan.
I mean, people have denim, but it's not like here. Like, you know how here people, like, I mean, I know I have, like, four pairs of jeans.
I got, like, six.
Yeah.
I mean, off jeans and leggings.
People might have one pair of jeans. One pair of jean leggings. Like, that's about it, at most.
Skinny jeans or flare bottoms?
Skinny.
Makes sense.
Definitely. They're all into that kind of legging form fitting. They're always more fancy slash dressed up, which is something I noticed. Like, here, I generally like to think I'm not a slob, but going back to the jean thing, I'll throw on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt and go to class. Pull my hair back, whatever.
You mean you don't wear $500 worth of jewelry and spend 2 hours putting on your makeup for class?
I don't. But people in Japan, like, the girls and the boys, it looked like they were going out for Friday night every day.
Okay, Okay, because I was just asking, because this is Rollins College. Google it. But it's, what are we, like, number three on Playboy's top?
No, number last year. We're number seven this year.
Yeah, we went down.
We went down.
It's a sad day. We went down.
Yeah, we're
UN went up, though.
The girls always had, like, they were always very well put together. It was like, you know, everything down to how they wore their hair, how they were accessorized, like...
How was the color in their hair, if I may ask?
Brown is really big over there right now.
Brown?
Yes.
Like, their natural hair color is, like, a blackish color, right?
Yeah, it's
like
jet
black. And the just brunette phase is in right now.
A brunette.
I feel fancy.
Brunette is really big right now because most of the girls seem to have this, like, the opinion of if you go too blonde, it looks really unnatural. I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it looks really unnatural, and so they don't think it's attractive. But if you just go with black hair, it's boring. So,
okay. So brunette.
A brunette with, like, a light texture, like a wave or something to it. A little bit of body than the pencil straight.
What about, like, crazy colors?
You really don't see it.
It's interesting.
I mean, the only time I ever saw anyone with colored hair was Halloween, when I saw people cosplaying. And then it was wigs.
Of course.
Yeah. So, it's just, it kind of goes back to, again, that conservative thing. I mean, it's, I think it's pretty much the same in any culture. It's hard to get taken seriously if you have bright pink hair.
Of course.
As much as I do love bright pink hair.
How in the world do people in Japan dye their hair? It's so jet black. They must bleach the hell out of it first.
Yeah. It's a lot, like, it's a lot of money that goes into all that effort. I mean, I was talking with my host family and my sister, and she has, you know, she doesn't have the very light brown that some girls would wear because it was too much maintenance, but she had brown, and she did her hair, like, every day. Like one morning she was like, I'm so ugly today, and she was just in, like, sweatpants and a hoodie. I'm like, I think you look normal. But, the other thing, you know, Japanese fashion versus Western fashion is designers are designers. Coach is big over there. Louis Vuitton's big over there. Chanel's big over there. Mm. I mean, the designer brands that are big across the world are true in Japan. They have giant Coach and Chanel stores in all over Tokyo and all over Osaka, and those are the brands that you would expect to be big anywhere.
Right.
Are big over there. But trends that might be less what you would think, like, designs or designers that might not be immediately like, oh, it's Coach, of course it's big. Forever 21 is or was really big right now.
That's unexpected, man.
It was, there's only one store in Japan, and it's in Harajuku in Tokyo. And this is as of, like, December. I don't know if they opened another one up. But it had a line probably about 4 or 5 blocks long to get into the building.
Jesus.
Abercrombie is also really big over there. Abercrombie and Fitch. They just opened up an Abercrombie in Ginza. My sister and I wish we had a video camera. The line was probably about 7 blocks long.
My God.
Waiting to get into an Abercrombie. H&M was really big. The line was only about a block long, and it would die down. But there were so many people in these stores that they actually had fire marshals there and police people there because they had to maintain how many people physically went into the store. Otherwise, it was a fire hazard. Like, it's, you crazy. Couldn't... My friend and I went into the H&M because I actually really like H&M. It wasn't even enjoyable. It was like swimming through a sea of people. Like, how do you shop in this? Trends that aren't necessarily designer-based but are big are boots.
That makes sense.
They love their boots. Thigh high, knee high,
oh,
laced.
So hot.
Heels, not heeled. They can run in heels too.
That takes some serious, serious talent.
Like, I was in sneakers, and I was standing next to this woman, and we see the bus kind of pulling up. And as the bus passes us, we get the light to walk, and we got to cross the street and run to the bus stop. I'm in sneakers. She's in boots with heels. And I'm not talking like, you know, your mama's heel that's like an inch and thick. I'm talking like stiletto, like 2 or 3 inch.
Fancy.
She hauls ass faster than I do to get on that bus. I'm sitting there like, how did you not kill yourself doing that?
Spectacular.
Furry hooded jackets is also really big. PETA, don't go to Japan. It's
real fur.
Oh, yeah. Rabbit or raccoon.
They don't mess around.
Like, I was in a store once, and I was looking at this hat scarf. It was so cool, and I loved it. It was like this scarf that had almost like a triangle part in the middle where you could put it on your head and then wrap it around. And I was like, oh, it's so soft. And she's like, the lady in, you know, her poor English, let's say, it's real. And I was like, what? She's like, rabbit, hop, hop, hop.
Oh, no.
I was like... Awesome.
Oh, wow.
It used to hop before you murdered it.
But yeah, the furry hooded jacket's really big over there.
Actually, Kyoko has one of those. My tutor has one of those.
Really?
Furry jackets, yeah.
Yeah, they're big.
We mentioned that.
Ugg boots. a big, going back to the boots thing. And again, that goes back to the designer thing of boots or UGG boots. Tights, like I said, tights are big. Leg warmers you'll see over there, but they're generally for the younger crowd. Like, I'm 20. I don't know if people know how old I am, and I would feel a bit too mature to wear leg warmers. I'd say they're junior high, young high school girl kind of trend.
Hmm.
They're not...
I guess that makes sense for the anime relation.
Yeah.
Like, you see it mostly in anime, but that's usually the junior high school kids, too.
And they're just your regular looking leg warmers.
Not, like, fuzzy ones or neon-colored ones.
I mean, I think the most outlandish one I saw was I saw black ones with tiny white stars on them. Or maybe some plaid ones. I mean, not...
plaid.
Yeah. Not too outlandish, but some of them that would make them a little more original.
I like the brightly colored horizontal stripe knee-high socks.
I know you do.
That's my thing.
I know.
Hey, I got to contribute to the conversation somehow.
Hats are giant over there.
What kind of hats? What kind of hats?
All cowboy kinds hats. Of hats. Cowboy hats, not so much. Trucker hats, not so much.
I love my cowboy hats.
But, like...
Fedoras?
Not as common. Might see one or two.
Oh, chef hats.
But, like...
People walking around in a big chef hat?
Oh, yeah. No, more like the little berets.
I was gonna say.
What do they call when they like, beanie hats?
Yeah.
And, like, other like, you know, the cute, like, almost ski hats that have things that cover your ears. I mean, this was winter time, so I'm sure the summer fashion I've been looking at, Uniqlo is actually my favorite Japanese store. And they just essentially have the summer version of, like, the beanie that's cotton. And they have a few that have, like, brims and things like that. So
cute.
They're really into, well, a lot of people are really into, like, the hip-hop look. But they're serious about their hats. I saw $100 hats.
Oh my god.
They weren't even, like, necessarily, like, designer hats. They were just, like, $100 hats.
Is that it? I'm surprised it's not, like, a lot more than that.
I would never buy $100 hats.
Yeah, I saw a hat. It was adorable. It was, like, my favorite hat ever. It was $60. I'm like, I'm not spending $60 on a hat.
Okay, I barely spend $30 on a hat.
Okay, wait a second. So, I don't, like, wear hats. I mean... So, I know that women will spend, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on shoes, on, like, a pair of shoes.
Shoes are different.
Shoes are different.
Shoes last forever.
So,
that's what she said.
So, shoes are like, vastly more expensive than hats?
Shoes are investment pieces. If you get, for example, a good pair of black heels, you can pair it with a business suit, you can pair it with an evening gown, you can pair it under jeans to dress them up for a going out look.
Stilettos?
And... I know this isn't comparable to hats because your head doesn't really grow either, but once you reach, you know, the age where your feet stop growing, shoes will fit you until you die. Like,
yeah.
Your feet aren't going to shrink or get bigger.
So as long as you take care of your shoes,
you can wear them forever.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And hats, you know, hats are only good for an occasional thing. You know, you can't wear the same hat every day. The same hat doesn't go with everything.
Not to mention, like, it just doesn't go, like you said, it doesn't go with as many outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And the only...
Sometimes you can't wear a hat. It's just not appropriate.
The only other...
Indoors.
...trend that I really saw that really kind of surprised me, maybe would be a word, that I don't think could ever be brought back to America, is scrunchies. Like, sequin scrunchies, sparkly scrunchies, black scrunchies, velvet scrunchies... Beaded scrunchies, non-beaded scrunchies, silk scrunchies, plaid scrunchies, scrunchies with characters on them, scrunchies
Snow
without.
With the scrunchies.
And then they would put them, me and my other Western friends, don't call us racist, but we called it the pebbles look, like Pebbles and Bam Bam from the
Flintstones.
They would wear their ponytails on the top of their head. Like, maybe not literally, like, hold on. I'm gonna try to dream of Jeannie,
maybe?
Yeah, like we called it the pebbles look because they wore their ponytails, like...
Okay, Chiaki is now redoing her ponytail and putting it on top of her head.
They put their ponytails, like, this high.
Okay, so it's kind of like if you measure the size of your forehead and then go to the very crown of your head and go back, it's, like, right there.
Work it, girl, work it.
They put their ponytails so high with, like, a big, like, disco scrunchie.
I feel like that'd give me a headache.
And it worked. I was like, I can't... I would look at scrunchies and I'd be like, I'd want to buy one,
But I'm like, I have no idea what to do with it. I'm like, I don't understand how it works. So I never bought a scrunchie. But I kind of wanted to, just to bring one back.
I miss scrunchies. I wore scrunchies all the time in, like, elementary and
middle school. Me too.
But it just worked better than hair ties.
Yeah.
It was fashionable.
And some, not to leave the guys out, some male fashions, the whole gay thing isn't as big there. Like,
as Westerners think it is.
Well, more in the sense of, you know, in the West, if a man... The gay culture is a part of our culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Or we at least acknowledge it as a big population.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, because they're so conservative, at least this is my belief, many gays don't come out of the closet or even realize they're gay.
Okay.
My host sister even asked me once, why are there so many more gay people in America than Japan? I was like, I don't think that's true. Granted, I'm a proponent of the it's not choice, but let's not get into that. Anyways, but it's not like if a man dresses effeminately, other guys go, oh, he's gay. I mean, it's just a completely different definition of masculinity.
Oh my god, yes, with like the J-rock and J-pop and stuff where you've got guys dressed up like as girls practically.
Yeah.
And it's sexy. It's like, it's still masculine, even though to us it would be like a tranny.
Yeah.
It's interesting, to say the least.
I mean, guys have longer hair. Not long enough normally to pull back into a ponytail, but normally like longer, like maybe like ear length hair. They normally wear a little bit tighter clothes than what you would find here in the West.
So like a little past Metro.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Metro is a good way to describe it because they have a clear fashion sense and they try to uphold it and they wear like vests and things like that. But one thing I could not get over, they have girl bags. I know there is the man purse, but the man purse is like leather, plain,
briefcases, understated, messenger
briefcases,
bags.
Messenger bags. No, like, they had, like, hot, pink, shiny purses with, like, silver studs on them that were, like, right under their, like, armpit.
Oh,
and they just
no.
walked around with their man purse. I'm like, I understand there's differing images of femininity, but or masculinity, but I'm like, I don't understand that one.
Oh, no.
I could not figure it out for the life of me.
Oh, man.
So.
Blame the corporation. Someone did a really good job of marketing this. Purses.
Yeah. Something happened. But,
in Japan, I mean, I'm sorry.
As far as guy style, it's, again, it's well dressed up, pretty conservative, a little more Metro, I guess, by American standards than what we have for men. So.
Fantastic.
This has been a pretty interesting discussion topic.
And we still have more.
Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit. All right, well, I think this can pretty much be stated as a question for my own portion of the discussion. Exactly what is Gothic Lolita? I mean, from what I know about it and pictures and what's sold here in America, it's kind of like, if you would picture, you know, picture if you will, like, what are those porcelain dolls in the really frilly big dresses? That sort of outfit, only decked down in blacks and whites and sometimes with little splashes of reds or different little splashes of color, but mostly in the black and white frame. Lots of lace. You see a lot of interpretations that are like French maid outfit type looking things. Almost always dresses. But, when you go more towards Gothic Lolita, you've got, like, maybe veils or the little small hats, you know.
I love those little small hats.
Me too.
They're my favorite.
I've seen the ones where they're on headbands, and I've seen the ones where they tie in the back. And
I just like the pin-on ones.
Yeah, those are my favorite, because they just kind of look like they're
good. I wish I could pull that off, but I can't. I just don't have the overall look. Anyways, sorry.
So anyway, Gothic Lolita is basically just... I don't know, as I've never been to Japan, but I don't think the style is exactly, like, for going out. Like, it's kind of like
a different form of cosplay, just without a character to pin it to, is what it feels like to me. What do you think?
I kind of view Gothic Lolita almost like the Harajuku girls. And some...
I was going to ask you about
some
that.
Some Harajuku girls are Gothic Lolita, but not all Harajuku girls are Gothic Lolita.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But it's kind of like... It's kind of something you do when you have somewhere that you go that you want to be really trendy or really, you know, young and hip. But it's not like what you would go to the grocery store in.
Okay. Yeah, see, that makes sense.
It's kind of like if you're going to, like, let's say a big fashion party or something like that. You know, it's kind of like if one of us was going to a big fashion party, we'd maybe put on, like, our most designer thing.
Mm-hmm.
For them, depending on the fashion party, of course, it might be... you know, put on their most fashion-forward kind of outlandish thing. I almost view it as, like, runway clothes that are meant to be less practical and more fantasy.
Awesome. That makes sense. I've seen a lot of the times friends I have here that are really big into Japanese or Korean performers, like Japanese rock or Korean pop, would go dressed to a concert in Gothic Lolita.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of that sort of atmosphere where it's not looked down upon or, you know, makes people stare at you awkwardly from across the room. It's just, it suits that environment.
Right.
You know?
I always view Gothic Lolita like, Japan does this thing where they take trends from other cultures and they make them Japanese. Like, the scrunchies and tights. It's like, that is so America in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they took it, and now it's Japanese.
Brava.
I mean, like, I feel this is, like, the same, like, we had, you know, that big goth movement in, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
Not to say goth is dead, but,
just not as alive.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not as prevalent as what it once was, but, like, you know, there was the big goth movement, and, of course, Japan is they're a very fashion-forward group on the whole, I would say. I mean, everyone to an extent cares about looking good. They care so much about what other people think as a society, but that's a completely different issue. But it's almost like they took the goth movement, or rather the creator of Gothic Lolita, kind of saw this goth movement and said, this is hip and trendy right now, but this isn't going to fly with Japanese culture.
So let's
consciously
switch it
or
up.
Subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So it's like they took the goth and then they took the cute and they were just like, have a love child.
And that's really, you know, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie, I have my own Gothic Lolita dress, because you have to have one, at least. And it's, you know, it's a little bit more of a French-made spin, but it's kind of an exact interpretation of the love child of, you know, a goth and a porcelain doll, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all of the frills, and it's got all of the lace, and it's black and white, and... you know, you've got the little half bonnet where it's just maybe a strip the size of your hand that goes along the top of your head and ties underneath and, like, a bunch of bows. They are big on the bows with Gothic Lolita.
They're big on that with just the Harajuku style, too. I mean, I saw a bunch of Harajuku girls. Right now, what was really big when I went over there was food on the dress. Not, like, literal food, but,
yeah.
Like, they'd pictures wear dresses and they'd have, like, little lollipops and little candies. And I saw one that had little, like, strawberries and cake and things like that.
Ugh.
Like, and it's just, like, a trim around
pretty
the bottom.
Cute.
I would never wear food.
It looks cute. It looks like 1990s, like, you know those borders that you would peel and you'd stick in your kitchen, like, a home improvement project in a weekend? It looked like someone did that on clothes.
Schnozberries.
Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Oh, Willy Wonka.
But
anyway, Harajuku, would you say, when I think Harajuku, I think massive amounts of color.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say massive amounts of porn.
I almost did, but I stopped myself for something that actually made sense.
Nice.
So what do you think? Massive amounts of color, Harajuku?
Are you talking in the clothing?
In the clothing. Or just in the style in general.
Like Harajuku girls, or just the people in general?
Well, describe to me Harajuku. I picture Harajuku as a clothing style.
Yes and no. Harajuku is just like the high fashion district.
Okay.
The Harajuku girls got their name because it's high fashion and because it's a very distinct kind of look. So, like, Harajuku people, essentially, like, they're the kind of people with a lot of money that just want whatever name brand comes out next. Like, Kitson just opened up when we were there, and Kitson was really big.
So they're, like, the name brand whores of the Japanese society.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
But the Harajuku girls themselves, color, I saw a lot of color, but like I said, it might have just been like the style at that point in time for Harajuku girls, because like I said, they loved the candies and, you know, cakes and sugary things on their clothes. And I saw some men in Harajuku girls' clothing.
Oh, no.
One or two.
Oh, God.
It was interesting.
I feel like my gaydar wouldn't be able to function correctly in Japan.
No, no, it wouldn't. You just need to turn it off when you cross customs, because you'd just be like, what? Him? No? Maybe? I don't know. Oh, is that a girl? Is that a boy? Yeah, it's... But, yeah, Harajuku...
It's fascinating.
It's pretty much whatever's the... What I learned, whatever I learned about Japanese fashion is if you either feel confident in what you look, you can pull it off. Especially if you're in the big cities.
Makes sense.
Because the big cities, anything goes. If it's name brand and people can tell, it doesn't matter if it looks good. Like, you can have hot pink shoes with red pants. If they're both Louis Vuitton and one Chanel, it doesn't matter. And then, pretty much if it's fancy. Like, their clothes are an expression of how they feel, be it conservative, wealthy, looking good. They're just really, all those things are important.
Fantastic. Well, I think that pretty much covers it for fashions of Japan.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to talk with me more about this, I'd love to. I know I've talked a lot, but say hi to me on the forums. My Skype is also on the forums if you want to poke me there. And I think right now it's time for me to get another glass of water and us to take a news break with Mitsugi.
Hey everybody, it's time for your anime news. In some interesting financial news, a Tokyo man was arrested on Thursday on charges of insider stock trading of an anime production company. Former Aozora Bank employee Takeshi Matsubara was arrested for buying shares at low prices before the Gonzo Anime Production Company's partnership was made public, and then selling the shares at high prices after the partnership was announced. According to the charges, Matsubara had received confidential information on the anime production company's planned third-party allocation of shares in December of 2006. He then allegedly bought 135 shares of the company's stock for 11.6 million yen between December 11th and January 19th of that year. After the anime production company's stock rose, Matsubara allegedly sold his shares for several million yen, several tens of thousands of US dollars in profit in late January of 2007. In some interesting iPhone news, a group called Not a Basement Studio launched a manga rock app that displays unauthorized translated scans from hundreds of manga titles on Apple's iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad mobile devices. Among the titles that this free app reposts from a scantilation site are Fairy Tail, Air Gear, Soul Eater, Bakuman, and many more. These titles and others have been licensed in North America. The app allows users to read manga chapters online or download them for offline viewing. The disclaimer for the app states, all manga, character, and logos belong to their respective copyright owners. It also claims that it does not have any affiliation with sites that host unauthorized manga scans. Big news for all of you Code Geass fans out there. It appears that the Code Geass anime is having a spin-off project created called Code Geass Gaiden Boukoku no Akito. The side story is set in the European war front, where a unit made of boys and girls from Zone 11 is sent into a military operation with a 5% chance of survival. Bio Big Lobe website began streaming the event video at midnight on Friday. The event video is also available in Japan on Blu-ray, DVD, and UMD. So for those of you that happen to love Code Geass, keep your eyes open for this anime in the future. We'll be back with more news later, but for now, back to the show.
Thank you, Mitsuki, for that news break.
Quite.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'll send you a card in the mail. Alright, so the new season has recently come out, and the past couple of episodes have been kind of dead on the impressions because we've been waiting for it to kind of pick up, but now that it has, we have three impressions from the new season for you, and I've talked way too much, so can you please start?
Be prepared!
I'm taking the first one. Actually, this is the second one I've done. I did Ikitosen last week.
And that was a gem.
That was a gem. This is actually a gem coming up. This anime is called Major, and it's, although it's a sports anime, and therefore 99% of you don't care, Major
and
is...
And it's like the 10th season.
Major is an anime that is grossly popular in Japan. It's one of those shows that every once in a while it pops up on the top 10 most watched shows every week, along with like Sazae-san and Crayon Shin-chan. So it's definitely up there with like, you know, all the other all-star shows in terms of popularity. Major is the story of a boy who... He starts out as a boy, but they're on episode 134 now. And throughout the course of the show, he goes from being a little kid who's like a baseball prodigy to throwing out his arm, relearning how to pitch with his other arm, his left arm, which is incredible for any of you that have, like, even tried to write your name with, like, your non-dominant hand. You know it's impossible, so that's incredible. To going up through high school, through college, through the world tournament, like the I guess like the World Cup of baseball, and now finally, as the show's name suggests, the major leagues in the U.S. And it really does pick up right after the world tournament, and because this first season so far is completely centered around something that happened at the end of the last season. And that was Goro, which is the name of the boy, or them. He's a man now. He's 19.
I think, by the way, I think it's fair to say there's going to be some spoilers in this because, as Mitsuki said, it's 140 episodes in. So if you want to watch the series from the beginning, just fast forward.
It's totally worth it. It's a great show. It's ranked 97th highest of all time on News Network.
Having been out for a while, would you say the animation's pretty old school, or is it nice animation?
No, it's really nice. Like, it's improved over time, too. I started watching it, like, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Initial D in how it starts out, like, not bad. Like, this anime starts out looking better than Initial D started out, but as more and more people started watching it and the popularity level grew, it got more money, and now it looks incredible. The animation's great. The voice acting's good. Basically, at the end of the last season, they're in the finals, USA versus Japan of the, it's like the world tournament of baseball, I guess, and they're in like their 17th inning of overtime, which, for those of you that don't know baseball to the point where you don't even know how many innings there are 9 innings in baseball, and then they play a 10th, an 11th, and 12th, and so on until one team scores more than the other. They're in the 17th inning, because they're in a pitcher's duel. Goro versus the man who killed Goro's father by a wild pitch to the helmet. And they're not enemies, but they're kind of rivals, and it's something that Goro's been kind of using as fuel to drive his career. And Goro basically loses the match. A home run gets hit. And basically, the new season starts out in the major leagues, and Goro's pitching in his first game with the Hornets, and the Indianapolis Hornets, and essentially he's pitching like a perfect game, which for those of you that don't know baseball means that no one's hitting balls, and if they are hitting them, they're getting caught, and no one's making it on the base. And if a pitcher gets through an entire game of baseball without letting anybody on base, it's like legendary. It doesn't happen very often. Maybe like most pitchers would never have it happen to them. He's in the bottom of the eighth inning, and no one's gotten on base yet, which is incredible, because Goro has like this, 103 mile an hour fastball, which is insane. He's the exact opposite of Mihashi from Big Windup, which I'll do later, because Goro's a badass and super overconfident, whereas Mihashi's kind of a pussy. But someone hits a fly ball that would have been a home run, but it misses being a home run by just a couple feet and ends up foul. And Goro kind of has this psychological relapse back to losing the game for Japan in the World Tournament and starts to lose his composure. He ends up walking like two people and starts to fall apart on the mound, and he eventually leaves the mound. And they decide that he has what's called the yips, which is basically where a player, it's normally in sports, where a player is so concerned about making mistakes that psychologically they let kind of lose control of their motor function and they end up making more mistakes. I can kind of relate to the same type of thing in piano. If you're playing piano and you're concerned about making mistakes, you're going to make them.
It's terrible.
Way more often. It's the same type of thing. And so in the end of the fourth episode, which is where I stopped, because that's how many episodes are out in the new season, they're taking him to a sports psychologist. Or he doesn't want to go, but they're kind of forcing him. Oh, and he also got demoted back to the minors. Only three episodes in the majors. So it's been a rough new season for Goro Shigeno. But it's an incredible show. This show is not like Cross Game. There are only three sports animes that I've seen, and I've seen most of the notable ones that kind of stand above all the rest in terms of quality, and that's Hajime no Ippo, Cross Game, and then this one. So if you're big into sports, this is an anime that you would not want to miss. But this anime does not have enough like fluffy slice of life love type stuff in it that can allow you to enjoy it even if you don't like sports. This anime is a lot more focused on the sports. So unless you are a sports fan, I don't recommend this anime because you probably just won't enjoy it. Although you never know, maybe you will become a sports fan by watching it. I didn't used to have any kind of appreciation for boxing. And then I watched Hajime no Ippo and ended up liking that so much that I don't watch boxing on my free time, but I have more of an appreciation for it. As a closing note, I don't think this will be the last season of Major. They're taking their sweet time with the new season. So, you know, he's not even in the majors now. He's demoted, you know.
Well, it had to make the show last longer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a cash cow, so. But it's awesome. So, check out Major if you're a sports fan.
Awesome.
Fantastic. The anime which I am doing an impression of is Uragiri wa Boku no Namae wo Shiteru, or Uraboku, which it is on a couple of sites for short.
Wimps. Don't even want to spell it out.
They don't even want to try. Like I said, mine is the one with the crazy long title. Your basic plot, from what I can gather, there are two episodes out on some sites, and if you look really hard, there are three episodes out on things like Crunchyroll, and what's that other one that I use?
Anime Freak.
AnimeFreak.tv. Actually, Anime Freak only has two.
Oh, losers.
I know. Crunchyroll's just on it. But anyway, basically the story is about this boy in high school, Yuki Sakurai, and he is an orphan, and he was basically found at the orphanage, one of those classic, you don't know who he is, don't know what his past is, and he's got this sort of empathic power, but it's not your average, I kind of really like the way they spun this, it's not your average, you know, you touch someone, you can just feel their emotions, he can actually see the memories or the past experiences that link him to that emotion, so in the first episode, he helps one of his friends up because his friend's gardening. And he helps him up and he sees something on his neck and he's like, oh, you know, you have something on your neck, hold on. And he goes to grab it and it sort of shocks him into like this like double vision sort of moment where it kind of backs him up and he can see his friend being abused by his mother. And when he comes out of it, you know, he'd be like, oh man, you know, are you okay? Is everything going all right? And his, I'm kind of getting the feeling that some of his friends know about this because, like, this guy in particular reacted with one of those, like, God, stop doing that. You're doing it again. Ugh, you know, and, like, sort of runs away. So I think, you know, his friends sort of realize what's going on or knows that there's something at least different about Yuki. But, you know, nothing really progresses really quickly. For this show so far, in terms of answering little questions. You know, big things happen, like a major character comes at the end of episode one, that seems to know a lot about Yuki's past, which you know is going to be a big thing in the show, because whenever you don't know about the main character's past, that's all they focus on.
I am your father.
Exactly. Or brother.
Or sister.
Or cousin.
But you don't know that until you kiss me.
Exactly. But anyway, so, I'm kind of thinking this may be a particularly good anime. I love the animation for it. The animation's very similar to, like, Descendants of Darkness, Vampire Knight, without the lack of outline that Vampire Knight does, which I think is a really cool effect. And specifically...
Does it have that, Vampire Knight?
Yeah, when you get to things like hair and stuff like that, it doesn't have a blacked outline. It's just solid color. It's really cool, actually.
I never even noticed that.
It's not, like, for everything, but an occasional thing doesn't have outline, and I thought it was a really great effect.
I feel fail.
You should feel fail.
Oh.
No, never mind, you're okay. It's very, actually, if I had to compare it to one thing in particular, Demon Diary, the animation for Demon Diary, it's almost exactly like it. Like, even some of the main characters start to look a little bit like characters from Demon Diary. The music is also really good. It's the series itself looks like it's going to be a little cheesy, like a little old school. But... I don't think it's going to disappoint me as much as some of the other some of the other anime from past seasons so far have. I think it's going to be a little predictable, but when you've got, you know, a boy who is found outside of an orphanage with crazy powers and he doesn't really know exactly where he came from or what his past is, you can't really be any more cliche than that.
This season's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm glad, because I needed one that I didn't want to stab my eyes out with a spoon after watching.
I wish that the anime industry would decide to spread the good stuff out a little more evenly, though, instead of feeding us crap and then expecting us to forgive them.
Yeah.
Well, they can only have a good idea once or twice a year, so they gotta figure out the cliche crap to fill up the other seasons.
Exactly.
Like Kiss X Sis. Can't wait to see which one of you has to do that.
Oh god, not it. Noses.
Not me.
Damn it. We'll give it to Hatake.
That sounds like a good solution. Sorry, Hatake.
We love you.
What kind of people would want to watch this anime?
I was just thinking about that. If I had to choose people who would want to watch this anime, I'd say people who... Maybe, you know, a nice balance between guys and girls. Like, it looks like it could appeal to both. I also see a little bit of a hint of maybe, you know, a... what's the one where it's right under yaoi? Where it's not really yaoi?
Shonen-ai.
Shonen-ai. A little bit of a shonen-ai feel without it actually being, like, boy love.
I'd say it's for boys and girls, then.
Well, the action it looks like it's going to have seems to be pretty interesting.
What kind of action are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, in between the bedsheets action, or...?
Sadly, no, because that's totally up my alley. No, I'm just kidding.
Like knocking the junk around action?
No. Like, punching you in the face action. Or swords. There's one character that has a really epic sword, so lots of swords action. Lots of epic battles with magic action.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a difficult time translating the title of this anime. Uragiri wa boku no namae o shiteiru.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that my translation in my head is something like, treachery is... like calling my name or something. So
that's close. That's close.
Do you have a translation in front of you?
Yeah, it says betrayal knows my name.
Okay, so where's the betrayal in this?
Well, this may be a bit of a spoiler, but this is also just a theory. It looks like one of the characters that comes and he meets Yuki at the end of the first couple episodes, he meets Yuki and is basically like, I won't let you down, like, don't take on everything by yourself, you know, I won't betray you. I think that, oh, and there's also, in retrospect, there's also a couple of instances that lead towards the possibility of reincarnation, where Yuki may have been, like, a greater being, like a leader in a past life, and now people are following him, who was probably betrayed in one of his past lives, and now mm-hmm. people are trying to make up for it in Yuki's time, but Yuki doesn't know what's going on. That's just a theory. And I want to say that the person who comes at the end of one of the first episodes that's saying all that stuff about betrayal may be a relative of his or somebody who betrayed him in the past. I don't know. Just theories, but
yeah.
Betrayal does look like it's going to have a major theme in
this. It's going to be in there somewhere.
Definitely.
Cool.
But yeah, so I would recommend this, especially now before anything crazy has happened, because knowing the past couple of seasons, it may totally fail eventually. But it's looking good now. It's definitely looking good now.
Chiaki, awesome.
Care to shed some light on another impression of awesome?
Sure. I'm going to do an impression on an anime called House of Five Leaves. I don't know if it's House of the Five Leaves or just House of Five Leaves, but I don't think that the really matters that much. Based after a manga, first thing is love the animation style. It is fantastic upon multiple levels. It's very stylized.
Ooh.
But it's not so stylized that it's annoying, you know? I don't think, if you're one of those people who are like, oh, it's stylized, I don't want to watch it, give it a try, because it's not to the point that I think it would turn people off. But the characters have kind of a nice edginess to them because of it, and it gives it a very nice feel. It's a little more on the realistic side, too, which I really, really like. But first, I'll get on to the story. So the story is about a ronin, or masterless samurai, for those who don't know what ronin means, Masanosuke. And he's actually a really, really good samurai. He's not afraid, you know, if it comes to it, if someone's gonna attack, like, the person he's defending, he's not afraid to be like, you know, stand back, and he defeats them, and he's strong, and he's fast, and he knows how to, you know, attack people without actually killing them.
So he's like Kenshin.
Yeah, it almost kind of reminded me of Kenshin, but he doesn't have a problem with killing people. He just avoids it if possible.
Good idea that it is.
So it's kind of like, he's kind of like, you know, I could kill you, but I don't have to, so why would I? So he's looking for work, but despite all this skill that he has, no one wants to hire him. Or if they do hire him, they fire him quickly because his personality, it's very shy, it's very insecure, it's very non-confrontational, he's very awkward.
Isn't that kind of a contradiction? He's a badass, but he's shy and kind of
he's
insecure.
Like Yami and Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh.
He becomes a badass when he needs to be. It's not like a transformation or something. It's just when he needs to step up to the plate, he can do it. But it's like he doesn't like people giving him vast amounts of praise. He's very shy, I think is probably the best way to put it. And because of that, no one wants to hire him. Because of his shyness, they think he's a pansy. So he keeps getting fired, and he's hungry, he's starving. And this person named Yaichi comes to be with him. Well, not be with him, but he finds him, and he's like, I want to hire you as a bodyguard. I will defend, or if you'll defend me, I'll pay you well. And, Masanosuke follows Yaichi around all day, and Yaichi treats him to all his meals, he eats well, and essentially no trouble happens. So, as things round out, Yaichi's like, alright, now I'm gonna need you to actually defend me now. And they go out, he's like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going somewhere on business. So they go out to this remote area of town, and Yaichi's like, alright, you should watch out, because my client always will bring his bodyguards with, or will probably bring his bodyguards with him. So that's when you see how badass Masanosuke is. And he, you know, the bodyguards are sent running. And you find out that Yaichi, through this meeting where a man essentially hands a letter in gold to him, that Yaichi is the leader of a group called the Five Leaves. And it's a gang that kidnaps people and holds them for ransom. And this is all like kind of Edo period Japan, like shortly after, you know, the removal of feudal lords and things like that. Yaichi is really nice to Masanosuke because he kind of thinks that Masanosuke is going to join the group. And you meet more of the members of the group. Like, you meet Okinu, who's kind of like this geisha person. And I kind of feel like I don't know, I feel like she's, you know, the seduction, if need be. Ume, who is the person who runs an inn, and I almost feel that's kind of like their front, like, you know, the old mobsters, they always have a front.
Oh, yeah.
And Ume has a daughter, whose name is Otake, and she makes a comment, to Masanosuke that the five leaves, that he was surprised that she knew of the sinister activities, and she made a comment that of course she knew because it was started for her, and I feel like she never really explained that properly, so I don't know if she's, like, sick or something, and that she needs the money or whatever, so you kind of get this feeling that, okay, maybe this group has some kind of a little more noble purpose than just greed.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't ever harm their victims, and on all the letters they give a fifth leaf, and there's another member of the group, so if Masanosuke joins, then the five leaves would be quote-unquote completed. And Yaichi's really nice to him because he figures that he'll ultimately join, because he has no other option, I think. So he tells Ume, you know, let this guy eat for free at your place and stuff like that, and because of that, Ume's like, well, you can help me with, you know, errands, and he ends up helping again with delivering another kidnapped person. So it's like Masanosuke keeps getting drawn in to the actions of the five leaves. It's really, oh, one more thing before I forget. In the very beginning, you see a person who's a child, who's an adopted child of a family, who's supposed to be the heir, and he has a scar, a burn scar. I believe his family died in a fire, and he has a burn scar that looks like one of the five leaves on his back. And I don't know if you'd call it a flashback, since it's right at the beginning, but it ends with the wife of the family being pregnant, and you kind of get this impression that he's going to be pushed out, because then they're going to have, like, you know, a real heir, a real child. But it's been really interesting so far. It's engaging. You're really interested in the characters, and I mean, I don't know who I wouldn't recommend this to. I think I wouldn't recommend this if you want something really fluffy and really cute, but other than that, it's a really good anime so far, and I'm really looking forward to it, because, like, you know, Masanosuke's like, well, I give this guy my word as a samurai that I protect him, but I also think it's really dishonorable, the actions I'm engaging in, so it's like, what do I do? So,
does it make you think?
I don't know if it makes you think in the sense of, like, moral dilemmas, but I think it makes you think in the sense of trying to figure out, you know, what's next.
Okay, so it's not exactly the sort of anime where you can, where you can not pay attention and still be relatively involved, but it's also not the sort of anime that's gonna, like, change your life by watching it.
I mean, not yet, but it has, I mean, kidnapping's definitely a theme that I'd say if they go somewhere with it, it could have, like, a really interesting, thought-provoking kind of message or conclusion.
Cool beans.
So, I'm looking forward to watching it, and hopefully I will give it a good review in a couple of weeks, months.
Sounds intriguing.
And that's all of our impressions for now. So we're going to take another break with Mitsugi, because he's the man we know and love.
The man of the plan.
Indeed. So, Mitsugi, take it away with the news.
It's time for your second dose of anime news. And now, a bit of a tribute to the Gundam anime franchise. It appears that the franchise will celebrate its 30th anniversary this July of the first plastic model kit. As of March, Bandai has sold 400 million Gundam plastic model kits, all made in Japan. The first kit, a 1/144th scale Gundam, sold for 300 yen, about $3.2 in 1980. On July 24, 2010, Bandai will release a new 1/144th scale real grade Gundam model kit for around $28. In other news, it seems that a television anime adaptation of Masakazu Ishiguro's Sore Domo Machi wa Mawatte iru comedy manga has been greenlit. The anime will run on the TBS station in Japan. This comedy story centers around Seaside, a slightly odd maid tea shop in an otherwise ordinary shopping district of a mundane neighborhood in Tokyo. So it looks like we can all look forward to some moe goodness coming in the next or future anime seasons. For those of you that sound like this would be appealing to you, look out for this one in the future. Perhaps we owe a bit of congratulations to the Naruto manga series. It seems that Shueisha has announced that it has printed 100,400,000 books of the Naruto manga series. That's a lot of trees. Naruto is only the fifth Shueisha manga to surpass the 100 million mark. Among others are One Piece, which has about 189 million copies, and Dragon Ball, which has about 152 million copies. That's it for this week. See you next week. Back to the show.
Rounding out the episode, we're gonna do some reviews, and then we're gonna say goodnight.
Yep.
Good night and good luck.
Yep.
So, who wants to start? I feel like I've talked too much.
I'll start. I am going to do an anime that no one here has seen. Well, none of the listeners have seen it, I promise. Because it's a Studio Ghibli Museum anime.
Oh my god.
It's called Chozumo, and the reason
is
I know...
Is this the one with the mice?
Yes.
Oh, good.
The reason I know that none of you have mice. Seen it is because you won't find it online, or on YouTube, or, you know, at your neighbor's garage sale, because it's only in the museum, and I've tried to find it, and it's not online.
For anyone who doesn't know, Miyazaki animates shorts for the museum.
Very short, like... talking between 5 and 10 minutes a piece.
And they have a cute little theater that they air them in.
The Studio Ghibli Museum has a very cute theater that is awesome. It seats about 100, maybe? 100, 120. And it's on the first floor of their museum, and you get a little piece of film strip when you walk in, and that's your ticket, and they stamp it. Because the Studio Ghibli Museum is incredible. Even though it's meant for, like, 5-year-olds, I still love it. Chozumo is the story of two elderly people who live alone on a mountain. They're very elderly, and they're farmers, and they have an interesting hobby. And the hobby is mice sumo wrestling.
Awesome.
As only Miyazaki has, he loves his little critters, as only Miyazaki can accurately portray. Basically, they go one night, and there's like the home team of mice. And so they follow the mice to the little mouse sumo wrestling arena, and all the home team mice they're all really skinny and kind of scrawny, and all the opponent's mice are like really fat and plump and strong. And so they basically get embarrassed. And the old people are like kind of bummed out. And they want to help, you know? So, they go home, and before the next match, they cook up all this good food for the mice. And it's like, I'm trying to remember exactly what kind of food it was. I think it was, like, dongos, like little dumplings with some sauce, and, like, I think maybe some fish or something along those lines. And... All the mice, they lay all the food out at night and they go to bed, but really they don't. They're kind of peeking, you know, like hiding and watching them. All the mice, they just feast on all this food and they get real fat and plump, and it's really cute because it's a Ghibli. And then the mice go off and they go to sumo wrestle, and it's like the away team mice and the home team mice, they're all pretty evenly matched, and it gets down to like the last two. Because it works kind of like Pokemon, where you have like 5 people on your team, and like when one loses, another one just replaces them, and then when you run out of people, you lose. And they're getting ready to, the home team mice are getting ready to, you know, take on the last opponent. They're like at a stalemate, So the one of the old people kind of throws a big like I can't remember what they're eating, but like a big dumpling to him, and the home team mice eats it down, and he goes back and he just hurls the opponent out of the ring and wins, and it's just really fun, and the old people feel good about themselves because they did a good thing, and I don't mind spoiling the end for you. That's the end, because this anime is something that most people won't ever get the chance to see.
You know what I loved about the Studio Ghibli animation?
What?
Because it was made for, like, three-year-olds, I could understand all of the Japanese, because they don't subtitle it.
There really wasn't much dialogue in this at all.
Well, there never is, but it's really, when they have it, they're like, Tabemasu ka?
Yeah.
Tabetai desu ka?
Even I understand that.
I don't even think you would find this anime on News Network, on their encyclopedia. I think I remember looking for it and not finding it. But it was about 5 minutes long, and it's very cute. I'm gonna be fair and give it 4 sumo wrestling mice out of 5. It's not long enough to really give it like a 5 out of 5 or anything like that. But for its length, I wouldn't really put it up there with comedy, with Kigeki. It's not that good. Which is another anime short we should review
comedy.
Sometimes.
Oh my god, so spectacular.
But it's in its own way, it's so charming that you'll never forget it. And,
if you want to hear a review of comedy, though, I did one on the episode I was with Scott on the Sarcasm
if
podcast.
If you want to hear a review of Kigeki, an incredible 10-minute animated short called Comedy, go listen to it on the Sarcasm podcast episode that Chiaki was on. And so, 4 sumo wrestling mice out of 5, it's wonderful, it's cute, it's pretty much, there are no negative sides to it, other than that it's short, and because of that, I can't give it anything higher.
And we'll tease you with it.
Yes.
Thank you, Mitsuki, for that review. Mitsuki's playing Pokemon right now. I just thought everyone should know. Pokemon Heart Gold.
It's very good.
So, anyways, I'm going to review an anime that was requested a long time ago by a dear forum member who no longer makes an appearance on our forums, and that makes me sad. But I'm still going to give him, her.
I think it was a girl.
Okay, her. A shout-out nonetheless. And that was Riani. And the anime is Kimi ni Todoke, which translates out to reaching out to you. This anime is painfully sweet. It made me tear up, like, 4 or 5 different times with just pure awe moments.
You love this anime.
It was really good. I love it because it was good.
It's very well revered, I think.
So the anime.
Sorry.
No, I need it. Sorry. I just suck at remembering character names. So the anime follows the story of Sawako, which means happy child, actually, or Kuronuma. And this anime has a very good balance of kind of ridiculousness with believable aspects of people. So it's just ridiculous enough that you can believe it, but it's also believable enough that you're not like, well, that's just stupid.
Believe it.
So Sawako is really awkward. She's just, have you ever met that person in life that's like, they're so socially awkward, they're not even mean, but they're just so socially awkward, and they don't know what to do in situations, and they just become the outcast, and they're not mean, they're not trying to be awkward, but they just don't know how to act around people.
Yes. Yes, I have.
That's Sawako, and I think that's what makes her so lovable, is everyone's met a person like Sawako, but this is where a little bit of the ridiculousness comes in. Everyone's kind of afraid of her because they think she looks like the person from The Ring. So she gets the nickname Sadako instead. And it becomes so bad that people don't even realize that Sadako isn't her real name. And she goes out of her way all the time. She says, she always says it's like a miscommunication or whatever. That it's a misconception that you can clear it up or, you know, confusing or things like that. So she's like, she has a good heart. She always tries to make people like her. Like if the teacher's like, I need someone to clean the chalkboards after class. The class says, oh, like, I don't want to do it. And she always nominates herself, because she just wants people to like her.
Like me.
But, like, people think she's cursed, or that she's mean, or that, you know, if you sit next to her, you'll get sick, or you'll get a broken leg. Like,
she's very much the outcast of the class. So one day, Kazahaya, or Shota, but you never call him by his first name, so Kazahaya is going to school, and he meets Sawako, and this is kind of in the past, and she helps him out, and she smiles real bright, and he realizes that, you know, she's this really, really nice girl, and she's just a genuinely nice person and wants to help people out. So he kind of has a little crush on her, and Kazahaya's like the, he's like the all-star. He's like the popular kid who's also nice, who's good at sports, who's very smart, well, not very smart, but smart still, you know, gets good grades. He's just overall, you know, the all-around likable guy. And Sawako's always like, if I could be like Kazahaya, if I could be like Kazahaya, it's kind of thing. So he starts kind of helping her out, even subtly. Like, it's like he starts to get people to stay with her after class to help her out with things. And the more time people are willing to spend on her, they realize that she's not a bad person, that she's not, like, creepy or whatever. And two people that end up spending a lot of time with her are Ayane Yano and Chizuru Yoshida. Yoshida. And so Ayane and Chizuru kind of take Sawako under their wing, and they form, like, this really, really great friendship. And at first, she's like, it's almost like she doesn't believe that they're her friends. But what I love about this anime is that it always comes up with something new, but it doesn't drag it out for the whole season and conclude everything at once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like you have this, you know, she makes friends with them, and then they're like, call us by our first names, because that's a big thing in Japan. And she makes friends with them, and then there's, like, this really great episode where she realizes what good friends, or they all realize what good friends they are with each other. And then, of course, the next thing that they kind of tackle is a love interest that's occurring. And they introduce another character kind of thing to keep things going. It just has... I'm sorry, I really need a glass of water. It just has really great pacing throughout the whole series. Like, you're never really bored. And it's one of those series, thank God, it doesn't take the whole damn series for one character to say to another character, I like you.
Ugh.
I want finally, to date you.
One of them exists.
It's like, it takes a normal amount of time, and I'm like, thank God. Thank God that they're, like, real people, almost.
It's like, I have genitals, you have genitals, let's put our genitals together.
Okay, not quite like that.
No?
No. You wish, Mitsuki. You wish. But, I mean, there's a lot of things, and it's just a slice of life. The whole anime, you're rooting for Sawako, because she is such a likable character. And she really keeps the series going, and it's funny, and it's sweet. It's a girly anime. If you are a dude who, like, if you're the kind of guy who's like, yeah, Cobra the Animation makes me feel like a man.
My nipples are hard.
Say that. Please don't watch this anime. You're in for a disappointment. But for anyone out there who likes, you know, comedic, slice of life, really sweet romance story, really just watch it. I will tell you, though, this is a spoiler. It's a small one. Fast forward if you want. Alright, that's your warning. They don't kiss. It's not one of those animes where they get close to kissing, and then, like, someone jumps out of the toilet and stops them. It's not that kind of frustration, but I'm the kind of person that if I watch a whole anime, I want them to kiss at the end. God damn it. That's just my personal thing. They don't kiss. I'm just telling you, in case you're like me and you want them to kiss, don't get your hopes up. They don't kiss. You'll know what I mean. You'll know what I mean. So, I would probably give Kimi ni Todoke, like, I know it doesn't sound like I'm saying very much, but I don't want to spoil anything, and it really is just a really well-done, simple slice of life. I'd give it... What would I give it? I would give it 4 cute hairpins out of 5. Because it's really well done, It's not incredibly original. It does kind of drag a tiny bit toward the middle. They probably could shorten it if they wanted it. It is a 26-episode series, but... Or 25, rather. But it is very good, and I highly recommend it.
Why cute hairpins? Is some character, like, love-wearing hairpins?
No, it becomes a really, like... It's a really special thing, like, right at the end of the series.
Oh, okay.
So.
Sounds like someone gives somebody a hairpin as a gift.
Kinda.
Yay!
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 So that's it, guys.
Really?
Really?
It's a very nice length episode.
It was. I'm glad to have a shorter one, because my voice is starting to go. So, once again, you can find us at aaapodcast.com.
Do it.
There's a link to the forums on the page. Please say hi to us. We love to hear from you guys. It makes our day. There's also a contact form on the webpage, just in case you have something to say to us that you don't want to join the forums.
I just want you guys to know that when my iPhone goes off and makes a little notification noise and it says that I have a message on the forum, I'm like Torturo with his umbrella when the raindrops fall on it.
Aww.
Best metaphor ever.
I honestly, like, I get really excited. I have my Skype name in my banner on the forums, and I put it out there for anyone who wants to say hi to me. I have a special little Skype just for the Chiaki side of me. And,
say hi to me, please.
No, I get really excited talking to you guys, because we have a really great group. I've always said that. So, aaapodcast.com. We're also on iTunes and Mevio and the addnetwork.net. Those are places you can listen to us. If you search for AAA Podcast or Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast on any of those, should be able to find us, no problem. Links on the main top page, too. And then we're also on Facebook. We have quite a few friends. We also have quite a few fans on our Facebook page.
But there's always room for more.
What she said. So, please, again, love to hear from you. Can't stress that enough. And we have right now a listener-requested anime list that's probably about 30 or 40. I don't know, would you say that's 30 animes long? Probably, huh? Mm-hmm. That's probably roughly about 30 animes long, so... We do try to get to the user-requested stuff. We do.
But it doesn't always happen.
No. But we haven't forgotten. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is written
there's
down.
There's just so many.
Yeah, we should show you guys. So, that's how to find us, how to get in touch with us, and SuperCon's coming up. I don't think it's too early to say that.
See us at SuperCon.
Miami, if you were there... You have to go. It's one of the best cons, I think, in Florida.
I would agree.
Just so you guys know, we are on the SuperCon website. I think it is supercon.tv or...
Google Florida SuperCon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You'll get it.
And under the podcast section, we are the only podcast currently registered to go to SuperCon.
That's because we're badass.
Yeah, we are.
So I guess we're going to get all the attention. And we're also going to be... We also propose 3 panels... Including a panel,
Whose line is it, hentai?
Whose line is it, hentai?
Well, that's going to be a blast.
Well, you will act out skits like what it is like to wake up next to a tentacle monster.
Imagine the morning after, but you're the star. The morning after hentai episode.
Yeah.
So, I think we've gabbed enough. Say hi to us. I am lonely!
Visit us at SuperCon.
Indeed, what she said. And help me pick cosplays. I can never decide. So... Taking us out tonight is going to be Twilight Star, or Twilight Bustari. Oh, no, sorry. Twilight Bustar from the anime Major by Mega Maso. So, bye, guys. Until next time.